on 2SCR.
And have a conversation offline.
Don't take your father car if you can't.
Sydney's arts and culture show.
Flat Earth Society had this big conspiracy theory about
arts.
These kind of false idols.
On 2SCR 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to Carve, your weekly exploration into all things arts and culture in Sydney. My name is Ellen and I am joined by Lockie. We have a star-studded show for you today as we'll be chatting to artists who in their work engage with pop culture icons like Kylie Jenner and Billie Eilish. But before we start the show, I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal people, who are the traditional custodians of this land from where we are broadcasting. I would also like to pay respect to the elders past, present and emerging of the Eora Nation. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. This week, I had the pleasure of speaking to Shari Sebbins about seven methods of killing Kylie Jenner, now showing at Darlinghurst Theatre. We'll play that interview for you later in the show. So, Lockie, what did you get up to this week?
Well, Ellen, I actually last night went to the Sydney Comedy Festival, got amongst it in Marrickville, went to the Factory Theatre, and I saw Bear Pack. If you don't know Bear Pack, they're like the two funniest comedians of improv I've ever seen, Steen Raskopoulos and Carlo Ricci. But I also spoke to Shakira Clanton during the week, whose show Still I Rise plays at Darlinghurst Theatre from May 5 to May 9. So you'll hear more about that later. And now, guys, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Carve, and we're asking all of our regular listeners to subscribe to 2SER. If you did this at our Radiothon last year, no worries, your job's done. But for everyone else, if you love 2SER, make sure you jump online and subscribe at 2SER.com. You'll help keep us on air, and if you do it in April, you automatically go into the draw to win one of two Audio-Technica turntables.
Woo!
First up on today's show, Sally chatted to artist Jack Irvine about his exhibition Simple Pleasures, now showing at Ambush Cambry in Canberra. Jack has made merch for Billie Eilish, Benny, Troye Sivan, and Skeggs. Stick around to hear that conversation after these tunes.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about bike riding in Sydney? The City of Sydney has everything you need to get rolling. Order a free cycling map, join a bike maintenance class or guided ride, or register for our Rusty Riders course. We have you covered, from developing your bike riding skills and learning tips for city riding to learning how to repair and maintain your bike. Just head to cycleways.sydney. City of Sydney sponsors 2SER 107.3.
Subscribe to 2SER before April 30 at 2SER.com for your chance to win one of two Audio-Technica turntables and a stack of 2SER's favourite records to kickstart your collection. It's our way of saying we wish you were here with us as a 2SER subscriber. Head to 2SER.com and join the family today.
You're listening to Carve on 2SER with Lockie and Ellen. Up the top there, you heard Cos I by Arju. Jack Irvine's exhibition, Simple Pleasures, is now showing at Ambush Gallery, Cambry, at the ANU in Canberra. Completed during Melbourne's lengthy lockdown in 2020, the vibrant exhibition includes 24 paintings and asks viewers to consider the small things in life that can easily be taken for granted. Simple Pleasures features art that Jack created for Australian surf rock trio Skeggs, with whom he began collaborating 5 years ago. Jack has also created merch artwork for global superstars Billie Eilish, Troy Sivan, and Benny. Sally was lucky enough to chat to Jack about Simple Pleasures.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Jack.
No worries. Thanks for interviewing me.
Your exhibition is called Simple Pleasures, and it was inspired by the small things in life that can easily be taken for granted, like sunshine, road trips, nature, TV. But you created this in Melbourne lockdown, which I've heard from so many people was like a really terrible place to be. So I was wondering, were you really enjoying those small pleasures, or was this like a coping mechanism for you?
I think it was a coping mechanism, and I think what happened was there was breaks in the lockdown where you could go and like it felt like things were going to be okay and like go back to normal, and like those times I was lucky enough to get away, and like I went up the coast, drove up the coast, and like went surfing and hung out with like mates I hadn't seen in ages, and like coming back and like things just going back to lockdown and everything. And I just went to the studio and I just tried, like, it was a hard, yeah, I mean, I just tried to paint and smash out heaps of work in a short amount of time while I was, like, what I wanted to do was build a collection of work in the same feelings or the same headspace I was in, and try to get it all done in a short amount of time, because I felt like subconsciously the messages in the works would all be connected if I did that.
Yeah.
Rather than like I didn't have a conscious decision to be like this is what it's about or anything. It just all happened, and it was just all things I was kind of like trying to look at the bright side of life in certain points and like trying to make myself happy and feel okay. And then, you know, hopefully that translates to make other people a bit happier or like feel okay. Yeah, so that was the whole purpose of it, really.
Yeah, because you are a character in some of the paintings you've painted yourself in. I've seen there's one where you're watering a pot plant and you say, now I have more time to care for you, is the caption in the painting. And I was wondering why you put yourself into this series, because I looked at some of your older work and you weren't really a character in the series, in your former paintings.
Yeah. I don't even know if that was on purpose or... Yeah, but yeah, I know what you're saying. I think it is just the feeling of memory I had of a thing where I tried to be like, oh, look, now the plants can be happy and like they're growing. And it's the same as thing like all the pets that everyone had were having the greatest time ever too, because like everyone's home just playing with all the dogs and the pets and stuff. So I feel like, yeah, just like, oh, cool, like I get to look after the plants and like it's a nice thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah, also things like sunshine that we took for granted before, and was such a blessing, out here in Melbourne when the sun came out and you could be outside for a little bit.
Yeah, the parks were pumping.
Yeah,
it was good. Good times.
And you've got, like, other motifs in your work too, like the sun, like flowers, aliens, smiley faces. I wanted to know what drew you to those shapes.
I've always felt like I've always painted those characters and those things in my work, and I never knew why. I just kind of did them and they just felt right. But then, like, the last year or so, 2 years, I've really started to understand my work, like, why I do things, I think. And, like, the whole thing about trying to make myself feel better and, like, putting smiley faces on, like, flowers and is, like, something when I'm walking down the street and, like, I might be in a bad mood or, like, feel a bit shitty. But then, like, I look, like, across the road and there's, like, really nice flowers and, like, those flowers are trying to make me happy. Like, I feel like they're beautiful and they look so nice. And I'm in, like, a sour mood, but, like the flowers are kind of smiling at me in a way, like nature's smiling. And, with that, and then, like, the sun, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, the same idea. Like, when it's a nice day, it's almost, like, hard to be in a bad mood. Like, you really have to try, kind of. And then, yeah, the aliens, I think, are just, like, for me, just an interesting character to draw because it's, like, one of these things that they could be real, they might not be real, but no one's, like, it's hard to say if they are or not. And I like the fact that it's kind of like a mystery and they could be doing anything and they could look any way. Like, there's no one's being like, hey, you can't draw aliens like that. Like, it's a pretty straightforward thing to draw, and it could be any gender. It could be doing anything. It could be an evil alien. It could be a happy alien. Like, it's just like, there's no like personality that's thrown at it. It could be like, you can make it what you want kind of thing. Yeah, which I like to use a lot.
Project. Yeah. What do you feel about aliens on tour?
Yeah. And there's one painting I've did where it's like a house and like, it's like hovering over this house, throwing its like beams down at the house, and I probably can't swear, but it says like F you to the person in the house. And it's like, I don't know. I just like the idea that like, this alien just really hates it, has it out for this person. Like, I don't know, it's kind of rough, but yeah, so that would be funny. Yeah.
Your work is full of humour, and you also work closely with Skeggs, the band, so you've created like a visual style for their merch with them and apart from them. So I wanted you to maybe tell our listeners, what is the aesthetic that you created for the band?
Yeah, well, it started like 6 or so years ago, and they played a gig at a gallery me and my mate ran, and then we just were hanging out the next day, and they were just like, yeah, do you just want to do the artwork? And I was like, yeah, of course, I'd love to. Like, I've always wanted to work with the band and create that branding, like, you know, inspired from like Ram Pettibon and Black Flag and like, you know, a lot of the older artists that who just like worked with bands continuously and they held their branding and it's just made them stronger. And like King Gizzard are a good example of that as well. And like, I think that how it started, like we just, I started doing drawings for them, and then Toby, who's the bass player, is like really strong. He has like a strong view on where he wants to take the branding and like where he sees the artwork connecting with the music and how to get there. Like he would be like, oh, can you make the letters more spiky, or like put more flames on it, or like, I don't know, just like simple things like that, but they just send me in the right direction to be like, okay, all right, I know what you want. You want something, yeah, and you know, and just like fitting that, and also listening to the music as well while I'm doing it and drawing inspiration from that at the same time while trying to create it. Yeah,
personal favourite of mine is the spooky, greedy gambler shirt, which is like heaps of flames all over it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
you also created merch for Billie Eilish, Benny, Troye Sivan. You've done surfboards for Ocean Earth. And I was thinking they all have their own sort of branding styles. So what is it like to work with these huge brands and huge sort of machines of branding, how do you still remain creative and like making your own spin on things?
Yeah, it's kind of tough sometimes. I mean, the older I get, the better I get at it. But like, you know, I think with Ocean Earth and Benny, those are like straight up my style. With the Billy one, that was a few years ago. The Billy Eilish stuff was, and you know, when I got asked to do that, they kind of suggested like they're interested in the airbrush stuff, which I was doing a few years ago. And so I just ran with that. They didn't really give me a brief. They just said, yeah, just airbrush or like kind of monsters or scary or something. And then I just went for it and just work on it till I have nothing left to give, and then just piece it all together and yeah, find what I'm happy with, and then send it off to them. And it's, I don't know. It's just like, I feel like the best things I've done is like not overthinking it, and just really jumping in and having a go. And like, if they turn it down, at least you've kind of tried to do what you thought would be cool. So like, end of the day, if they chose something, then you're going to be really proud of it. Whereas I have done stuff in the past, like when I was kind of getting into it, where you know, I tried to do what I think they want, and too much, and then at the end of the day I'm like, oh, I don't even like this, you know what I mean? That was a long time ago. So I'm just kind of learning lessons. Yeah. And yeah, you want to keep your style, I feel. Yeah. It's really important.
Yeah. I also noticed that your works are really big. They're almost as tall as you, and they're really brightly colored. I get like a Mambo, Keith Haring sort of vibe from your work. But I wanted to know what artists inspire you.
I was big into like 60s psychedelic posters, and big into like music posters and album artwork when growing up, and just like took a lot of influence from that, and a lot of punk. I was actually really inspired by punk and punk music and like lo-fi kind of music that's a lot simpler, and that kind of like made me feel like I could take on work and not have to overcomplicate it and keep it simple. Also, like, Keith Haring is, like, a great example of that. Like, so bold and, you know, like, he just pumps them out so fast, and it's really inspiring and makes me want to do things. Because, you know, like, it's pretty intimidating to see when you hear someone that's, oh, they worked on a painting for 7 years or something, you know? Like, I just don't have that concentration level, so I'm just, like, found inspiration for artists that can just bang them out, you know? Because that's where I'm at. It's kind of where my concentration level is. I just have an idea and then I want to move on to the next one pretty much straight away, so.
Well, thank you so much for joining Carve today, Jack.
Yeah, thanks.
If you're heading to Canberra before May 16, make sure you check out Jack Irvine's exhibition, Simple Pleasures, at Ambush Gallery, Canberra, at the ANU. You can follow Jack on Instagram at Irvine69 and check out his album art or buy his merch that he creates for Skegs at www.jackirvine.website/shop.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Carve on 2SER 107.3. And this month, we're asking you to support your local independent community station. If it's been a few years, why not rejoin? And passionate listeners will be happy to know we still have some limited edition T-shirts available. Just head to 2SER.com and subscribe. You'll keep Lockie and I on air, and you'll also go into the draw for one of the two Audio Technica turntables.
Woo!
Share the love today.
And don't go anywhere, because up next, Ellen will be speaking with Shari Sebbins, director of Seven Methods of Killing Kylie Jenner, currently showing at Darlinghurst Theatre, coming up just after this.
I've got energy.
Sometimes we sway, couldn't have it any other way. Now it happened, nobody's happy with it, everybody's living through it, must admit I get into it. Don't make it harder, hand me a hand, no time to wait. Where is the garden, and when do we move? Love how you move with me. Takes time, it takes time living on a razor blade. No way. Don't make it harder. Hand me a hand. No time to wait. Where is this gone?
Some of the nation's most accomplished actors come together to perform electrifying poems at a very special Sydney Writers Festival Poetry Gala at Sydney Town Hall on Saturday, May 1st. Featuring Brian Brown, Ewan Leslie, Tim Minchin, Pamela Rabe, Toby Schmitz, Yael Stone, Mia Wasikowska, Megan Wilding and more. Sydney Writers Festival, April 26 to May 2. Program out now at swf.org.au. Sydney Writers Festival sponsors 2SER 107.3.
This week on Death of the Reader, the finale of Yukito Ayatsuji's The Decagon House Murders.
Upon rereading that prologue, I realised I'm an idiot.
Yeah, what the novel is really bait switching on is the alivability of Seiji Nakamura.
The alivability.
Your Murder Mystery World Tour, Sundays at 9 p.m, Thursdays at 7:30 p.m, and on all your favourite podcast apps.
Just there, you heard Dinosaur Jr.'s new single, Garden. And at the top there, we had Under the Thunder by Skeggs. Shari Sebbins is a proud Buddy Jubba Jubba woman and director of Seven Methods of Killing Kylie Jenner, which is currently showing at Darlinghurst Theatre. Seven Methods explores stereotypes of black womanhood, white capitalist exploitation, and the politics of social media activism. This week, I sat down with Shari to find out more. Shari, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So what is Seven Methods of Killing Kylie Jenner all about?
Okay, so many things. At the core of it, it is about two young women in their early 20s, young black women from London. However, they are global. It's about their friendship and that point in their lives, I suppose, where your ideologies start coming to the surface and you start figuring out really who you are and what you're about and what you want to say and how you're going to take the people you've grown up with and the people that you love along with you. It's also about Twitter and colorism and homophobia and the commodification of black women's bodies and so many, many things.
And Seven Methods is written by British playwright Jasmine Lee Jones, and it combines theatre with GIFs, memes and emojis to explore important issues, like what you just mentioned. What has it been like bringing the online world to theatre, one of the few instances where we can't really be on our phones?
Yeah, it's quite amazing. When you pick up the script, one of the most thrilling things about it is seeing the format, even the very literal format and printing layout of the script. You can tell Jasmine's a poet because of the way she structures things. And you can tell she's incredibly intelligent at knowing what she wants the production to do. So it's one of the few times where you say to people, if you can't see the play, read the script, because it's still as exciting. And so it does, it's a bit daunting when you pick it up to go, okay, how do I put Twitter on stage? And actually, the great thing about it was at the core of it is it's a demand on the actors to embody and create those GIFs and those memes with their own tools, their own instrument, which is their physical body and their voice. And it worked really well. Like I said, it wasn't actually as hard as we thought it would be. We tried a few things and we landed on a structure that we think is really clear storytelling for the audience.
Wow, incredible. And Seven Methods has a focus on community engagement. How can we get involved after watching the production?
So it's kind of like you can get involved both before and after. The easiest way is to follow the Instagram account. There's some great prompts, you know, like when you get to the foyer, there's a QR code that you can scan. It's a digital booklet, so we've gone green in that sense and remained online. A digital booklet with information about the play. It's a program, basically. And it's what else? We also have an excellent pay it forward system where if you and your friend or you yourself can afford it, you chuck some money towards a ticket for somebody else, and that will ensure that people who don't have the means necessarily to get to get their own ticket and get to theatre have a ticket put aside for them, and it just kind of ensures that more people from more diverse communities will have access to this show than before. Yeah, we've also got like people like Flex Mommy, which I don't know if you're familiar with.
Yeah, for sure.
Flex is very cool. Flex has made some, she's made seven cards for us. It's like an online expansion pack for her Reflex game. We also have some talks. We had a talk yesterday that I think is still available on the Instagram TV channel, the Seven Methods or Darlinghurst Theatre Company channel. I think it's still available on Facebook, and there'll be one next Wednesday from 1 till 2 with the playwright herself, Jasmine Lee Jones, talking about her playwriting process. We've got Vibe Nights, which are really cool. It's like having three opening nights throughout the season. So generally, you know, the idea was like, you know, you got an opening night and that's the fancy night with all the music and the great food and drinks and whatever after. But the community engagement team have created that for every Saturday of the season. So this Saturday and Saturday, May 1st. And so it just feels like there's ways to access the show online that really continue the conversation well beyond the Uber ride home.
Totally. And yeah, they all sound so amazing and it's great to get the vibe going with the Vibe Nights especially. I was wondering, back to the production, did you learn any new acronyms?
I learned so many new acronyms. I actually, my associate director, our associate director, Zinzi Okenyo, and I would look at each other and be like, oh, we're at auntie status now, aren't we? Because we've had to look up so many acronyms. I was like, but then there were times where the girls would be like, what's this in stand for? And I'd answer it and be like, yes, 5 points to me, five youth points to me.
That's so
But
good.
My favorite, it's it's not actually an acronym. It's, and it's definitely crept over into our real life speak now, is the abbreviation of actually. So everyone started using ACT.
It's ACC, correct?
ACC, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Picked that one up too. So, Shari, we're talking about acronyms and memes and GIFs. Is the production accessible for older audiences as well?
Absolutely. I think the ideas behind it and the conversation behind it is as old as colonization itself. Mm. It's their ideas that have been, and conversations that have been happening forever. I think it's also, even if you don't know every abbreviation, every acronym, you don't understand every GIF or every meme, the pace with which they flash this language around is just so impressive. And you kind of, the great thing has been people saying, you know what, I didn't need to know. I understood what they were trying to say or what they were saying through context and intention. So there's been a lot of excellent feedback from older audience members who've loved it just as much as the younger ones. Purely, I think, you know, it's an incredibly impressive feat to watch these two actors attempt to bring Michael Jackson GIFs and New York GIFs and Twitter to the stage.
Beautiful. I'll have to let my mum know so she can come along.
Yeah. There's also a glossary on the QR code. I think there's a glossary. Or maybe not. Maybe I'll have to check.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. And Shari, you've worked in productions such as Top End Wedding and The Sapphires, just to name a few. What has it been like working with this particular cast and crew?
This has been excellent. I've been really lucky in that all of my, you know, 90% of my work as an actor has been Indigenous stories, First Nation stories, and therefore, especially the screen stuff, you know, the directors and producers and creatives around me have been a lot of First Nation people. So we, from the outset, we said with this that we would really want to create a team of all women, so 100% women on the creative side.
Wow.
And then we did even better and got 95% women of colour. So we did the thing that everyone kind of keeps saying is too hard or impossible to do.
Wow, that's really
fantastic. And we
did
it enough. Yeah, I think the quality of the production speaks to that initiative itself. You know, we haven't sacrificed, or we are not lacking in anything at all. And the diversity and inclusivity was very genuine and very real, which is so rare and so rewarding.
Wow, that's amazing. Truly. And let's keep on working on this momentum to have more productions
exactly.
like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Shari, you were recently appointed as Sydney Theatre Company's resident director. Congratulations. What is up next
for you?
Thank you.
So that means I have a 9-to-5.
Yay.
Which is very strange for an actor, I know. And you know, after last year, 2020, she who shall not be named. The security and stability of that is incredible. I think a lot of artists felt quite left out in the cold, or undervalued and disrespected in a way. The idea from the government, the message from the government and the world was that arts doesn't matter. Mm. When in fact, the first thing we did when we went home was consume all sorts of media.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, you know, whether it was podcasts or books or streaming networks, you know, like so many things that we did depend on artists' work. So that's a roundabout way of saying I'm very thankful for my job at the Sydney Theatre Company. But what it means is, I'm then 9-to-5. I've gone from a freelance actor to being on the jobs every day, contributing artists to an organisation that is absolutely going through a shift and a transformation. Mm-hmm. As is the rest of the industry, as is the world. And I'm really proud to be a part of that. So I have two plays coming up there this year. My debut with Sydney Theatre Company will be The Seven Stages of Grieving on the 25th of May. And after that, across July and August, I will be directing my second show with Sydney Theatre Company, which is A Raisin in the Sun.
Fantastic. Can't wait to see both of them.
Yeah. Please do. Let me know when you come.
I will. Shari, thank you so much for joining us today on Carve.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
I was just speaking with Shari Sebbins, director of Seven Methods of Killing Kylie Jenner, which is currently showing at Darlinghurst Theatre. Tickets are $42 and can be found at darlinghursttheatre.com. Your Discover New South Wales vouchers are actually eligible for this production, and Pay What You Can tickets are available to those who face social barriers when attending theatre. To access these tickets, contact Jacqueline at darlinghursttheatre.com.
And don't go anywhere, because up next I'll be chatting with Shakira Clanton about her brand new show at Darlinghurst Theatre, Still I Rise. That's coming up just after this tune from the Seven Methods playlist on Spotify.
I hold it down like a Snapchat, go over your head like a snapback, uploaded a pic, double tap that, and your flow so old, granddad. Bruh. It's just banter. Yeah. I'm way too much like a black cab.
Aye, boss.
What are you Snapchatting in the club for? Just dance, man. Like, yo, fam, alam, yo, fam, yo, fam, alam. Ain't no girl better than. I'm on the roads, caravan. Let me do this fast, Ramadan. Cause it's going down, avalanche. I'ma keep it short, paragraph. Queen Leash, I'm a rain, Anorak. Take it off, Israel, Nazareth. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, oh, Jesus. A couple of snaky friends, just Adam and Eve, us. And there's no debate on who's better.
Come on.
I'll turn a man to a girl like Bruce Jenner. Shout down the dance like me rock down the dance like I be the one they love, I be the done. They know where I'm from. Oh, 01 to the 21. Yo, brethren, where is your hairline gone? I can't believe it, I can't believe the cheek. Some girls wake up and don't even brush their teeth. That's a dead thing. A bad breath take
morning.
How could you talk my name and you ain't even brush your teeth? Brush your teeth. Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth. Bars cold like a TikTok. You've got a pot belly like Rick Ross. Stiff gal, do the TikTok. Big mouth gal, where your lips gone?
Where?
I ain't got time to be TikTok. But I got a new wristwatch. Let's go toe to toe, flip flops. I make the crowd jump like crisscross.
Yeah.
I got a dark skin friend that looks like Rachel Dozel.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a light skin friend that looks like Rachel Dozel.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's which? Not sure.
Nah.
Them girls are clapped, encore. Don't think you're buff because you're wearing contour. Because I'll wipe your brows off.
Yeah.
I'll snatch your wig and your nails off.
Bye,
I go blind, hands out. Like I'm at the nail shop. Look, these girls are bluffing. They really ain't on nothing.
Nah, man.
You can't do dirt on me.
Are you gonna go and get your cousin?
What? Everything in rosy, I beg you not. I clean the teeth through and set it off.
Yeah.
Then I bounce like a belly flop. Got one eye on your man. Fetty what? Yeah, baby. I'm getting watched. Watch me like Netflix.
Yeah.
You go to the club, but you ain't got dough for your gas and electric.
Let it.
I can't believe it. I can't believe the cheek. Some man wake up and don't even brush their teeth. How could you do that? How could you even speak? How could you talk my name and you ain't even brushed your teeth?
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth. Brush your teeth.
Never brush your teeth.
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 Queen speech for you now.
The way. 2SER, we wish you were here. Subscribe today at 2SER.com.
2SER's weekly email newsletter is your guide to everything that's happening at 2SER. It's your chance to win exclusive prizes, links to on-demand highlights, and to find out what's coming up on your favourite radio station. Sign up to 2SER's weekly newsletter now at 2SER.com.
Just there you heard Queen's Speech 4 by Lady Leisure.
And as you know, guys, we are currently doing our Wish You Were Here subscribers drive. And from the team here at Carve, we'd love it if you supported our show. As a not-for-profit station, it's listener support that keeps us on the air. Just make sure you jump online, subscribe at 2SER.com during April. All subscribers will go in the draw for one of two Audio-Technica turntables. From Wednesday 5th to the Sunday 9th of May, Actor and singer Shakira Clanton takes to the stage at Darlinghurst Theatre to share stories from her extraordinary life in Still I Rise, a memorable evening of live music, yarning and laughs. Still I Rise traverses a range of Clanton's life experiences, from the racism and sexism she's faced as a woman of colour in the creative industry, the lessons her single mother tried to impart on her as a teenager, to getting hitched in 2019 and spending the first year of marriage in lockdown with her new husband. Underscored by Jeremy Campese's astounding skill on the cello, the work is all at once honest, hilarious and thoroughly human. Shakira Clanton joins me to discuss her new show now. Shakira Clanton, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So we've got you on today to promote your new show, which I suppose is a one-woman show, but in the form of like a cabaret, autobiographical cabaret. How's that sound?
It sounds like I'm Dr. Old.
Oh, okay. We won't go with that. Either way, the show is called Still I Rise. It's on at Darlinghurst Theatre from the 5th to the 9th of May. So literally just for four or so performances. I'm interested. You're obviously an actor and a singer and performer. Have you ever done something like this that is just so truly and honestly just you being yourself on stage?
No, and it's bloody well terrifying because you're just like, these are my stories. This is my actual experience growing up or where I am now or what I've gone through. And so you're just like, here we go. I don't know if you like this, but thanks for coming.
Oh, that's great. That's how you should end the show, I think, every night.
Yeah.
Just with that. Here you go.
You know, it's kind of terrifying anyway because you're, you know, acting on stage and everyone has their opinions about you and you're just like, this is my writing. This is me.
Yeah. How long have you been writing this show for, you know, like properly writing it?
Bro, so I wrote it, I think, last year during Old Mate Rona.
Good time to write it.
Good old coronavirus, which is horrible experiences. And, you know, people that I know have passed away due to corona. So it was just writing through that pandemic, which I guess was a great opportunity because so many mates of mine weren't working and the arts industry was just up in the air. So being able to go through that and then coming back again and it's changed and there's different levels of experiences I've gone through since then. So it's bringing that to light. And since last year, basically.
Cool. The name of the show, Still I Rise, inspired by a line of poetry from Maya Angelou. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. What is the significance of that quote in reference to this show and in reference to your experience in the industry?
So it really is, it's such a beautiful quote, I think, for all women of the, especially for me personally in the industry as an artist and the rejection, as you know, bro, like, being an actor, like just kind of you have to pick yourself up again, but there's another journey through that and another experience of being a woman of color, being an Indigenous woman who's proud of her heritage and her background on both sides of my family because my dad's African-American, Native American, Indian. So it's just having to, no matter what life throws at you or no matter where the people, society places you, you got to keep going, even though it's hard.
Yeah, totally.
So I was speaking to my brother Howard about it, who kind of gave me that idea of like, you should just, this is a wicked poem and you're a phenomenal woman. I was like, oh yeah. And it stemmed from reading her poem and then bringing in my experiences through it, which is pretty, I think it's pretty awesome.
I think it's pretty awesome pretty nice. Too. Yeah, no, I think most people would agree that's pretty awesome.
Bro, just come to the show and see what I think.
Your sister is Sharina Clanton. I'm correct about that, right?
Yeah.
Who recently?
We're twins.
Yeah. Oh, right. You're twins. Okay. Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
I'm 8 minutes older, by the way.
Oh, you're 8 minutes older. There you go. That's a little flex.
She hates that I put that out there, but I just love to annoy her. Cool. Take out of her. Yeah.
And yeah, and she recently, I guess, famously spoke out against the treatment and behaviours that were present when she was working on the set of Neighbours, which heavily, I guess, featured just complete casual racism. Is it comforting for you, at the very least, to have a twin sister who kind of understands, pretty much like has a very shared experience with you as an Indigenous woman, as a person in the Australian entertainment industry? Yeah, what's that like?
You should have seen us growing up. Ask that question when we were teenagers. Now it's okay. My twin has her own journey and her own experiences that she's gone through, and some of those experiences I can relate to. But I think she's such a trailblazer in a sense of she's created stepping stones for others, and she's allowed a pathway that hasn't really been there for others to just kind of jump, bring their own truths to light as well, and platforms. And it takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of guts. And look, I'm behind the scenes. So I'm not behind the scenes, like when it's not good, or when, you know, the limelight is horrific, I'm the one to, like I said, to help her get back up on her feet. So we get it from our mother. Our mum's very well spoken, like she's just like, you need to speak up even if your voice shakes. So it's inspirational in her own sense for her to just speak her truth and be able to speak her truth, which allows others to do so.
Totally.
Yeah.
Coming back to,
I think that politically it's all good. I said that right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 That's fine. Coming back to this show, Still I Rise, your show,
yeah.
Is there, I guess, the show and the songs you sing and stuff would cover a lot of experiences and stories, I guess, throughout your life and journey. Is there any story or moment or issue that you don't touch on as much in the show, or that doesn't quite get touched on as much that you would like to, for whatever reason?
Oh, there's so many. I think I've cut a lot of stuff, but then who knows? I'm also the type of actor that I kind of ad lib when I'm on stage.
Sure, and in a one woman show, hey, the floor is yours. The floor is yours. There's no other actors on stage going, What is she doing?
Which is terrifying. But there's a Jeremy who is playing the cello, who is incredible.
Mm.
Thankfully, I've got him as my backup, and he's just looking at me sometimes when I add the, like, Shakira, what are you doing? But I have no idea. It's great.
You're just like, dude, just play whatever. Just you know, play something nice. I'm about to go off on a tangent.
Yeah, love ya. I think it's changed a lot from where it was last year. It was based heavily on coronavirus,
right,
which I've brought in again, but it's more stemming now through mental health, and the issues that it's not an issue, but the subject matter needs to be addressed because so many people go through mental health waves, and it's not really talked about as much. It's kind of a stereotype, put a lid on it, you'll be right kind of thing, which I'm bringing that to light more than the coronavirus. But it kind of was, it's a pathway that led from corona, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of touched on this a little bit in your answer just then, but overall, why this show and why right now?
Because I think all voices are incredibly powerful. I think everyone has a different journey and a different experience, but we can also relate to each other. And I think it's more such a huge spotlight now on you can't judge a person based on their religion or cultural background or the color of their skin because you have no idea what they've gone through and their experiences. So let's not judge. Let's not put others in a box to make ourselves feel comfortable. Let's try and be more open-minded. And I think all voices need to be heard. Yeah.
Awesome. Shakira, thank you so much. People can go see Still I Rise at Darlinghurst Theatre from the 5th to the 9th of May. Tickets are available at darlinghursttheatre.com/Still I Rise. And where can people find you on social media or otherwise?
On Google.
On Google?
I'm on Facebook. This is so, I feel like such a knob.
Nah,
I'm on Facebook.
Nah, this is the time to promote. What's your Insta? What's your Insta? Go.
I'm an Insta.
All right. I'll save you. I'll just search for Shakira Clanton. You'll find this. Yeah. I'll just say that. There you go.
No one knows who I am. They're like, Serena? No, I'm Shakira. No, I'm on Instagram or Facebook.
Cool. Excellent.
There you go.
Sweet. Thanks so much for chatting.
Thanks for having
Shookers.
Me, bro. Good
Shookers
laughs.
For the show.
Good times.
Good laughs and good
Cheers,
times.
Cheers, bro.
I was just speaking with Shakira Clanton about her one-woman show. I'm going to stop that joke now. About her one-woman show and cabaret, Still I Rise, which plays at Darlinghurst Theatre from May 5th to the 9th.
Thanks for carving out some time on your Saturday morning for some arts and culture. As always, we'll put links to everything we've covered on today's show on our website, 2ser.com/carve-arts. And hey, we are still accepting submissions for Carve Live. So please slide into our DMs if you're keen on our Instagram at carve2ser.
And to take us out, well, we had to do it. Here's a bit of Shakira. And I'm not talking about Clanton.
Oh, no, you did it.
Ladies up in here tonight.
Yeah.
See you next week.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
I never really knew that she could dance like this. Hey. She make a man wanna speak Spanish. Como se llama? Si. Bonita. Si. Because of
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. Hey. So be wise si. And keep on hey. Reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel it's right. The attraction, the tension. Don't you see, baby, this is perfection.
Hey, girl, I can see your body moving. And it's driving me crazy. And I didn't have the slightest idea until I saw you dancing. And when you walk up on the dance floor, nobody can ignore the way you move your body, girl. And everything's so unexpected, the way you right and left it. So you can keep on shaking it.
I never really knew that she could dance like this. She make a man wanna speak Spanish. Como se llama?
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go real slow. Don't you see, baby, I see it's perfect. Baby, I know I'm on tonight, my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel it's right. All the attraction, the tension. Don't you see, baby,
Shakira,
this is perfection.
Shakira.
Oh, boy, I can see your body moving. Half animal, half man. I don't really know what I'm doing. But just seem to have a plan. My will, I'm self-restrained. Have come to fail now, fail now. See, I'm doing what I can, but I can't tell you.
Near sounds are intensified and distant sounds faded.